Regulators try to prevent another Wall Street flash crash.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The SEC and other regulators say they still don't know what happened earlier this month when stocks crashed almost 1,000 points in a few minutes before bouncing back almost as fast. But the regulators have come up with a new set of trading rules that they hope will prevent another flash crash. Marketplace's Elisa Roth joins us live from our New York bureau. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
Will you outline these new rules for us?
The basic idea is what's called a circuit breaker. If the price of a stock moves more than 10%, and that's down or up in a five-minute period, it'll trigger the circuit breaker, and that stops trading on that stock. And Mary Shapiro is the chair of the SEC, and this is what she said about the new rules yesterday.
And I think that those will be very important, circuit breakers or speed bumps, to help the market adjust quickly to the very high levels of volatility that we've seen.
Right now, those new rules will only apply to stocks that are part of the S&P 500, and they're meant to improve on the circuit breakers that are already in place.
Wait, there are already circuit breakers in place? Why didn't they work on May 6th?
Well, there are circuit breakers in place. The problem is they're set up as if the stock market were a single entity. And actually, there are lots of exchanges, and each one has different rules for setting off the circuit breakers. So basically, they weren't sensitive enough to go off on May 6th when the markets went so crazy.
So when do these new rules take effect, and when do we know whether they're working?
There's a short comment period, but it seems like most people think the new rules are a good idea, so the rules should be in effect by mid-June. After that, there's a six-month trial to see how well they work. And during that time, regulators will also look at some other questions, like whether to make the existing circuit breakers more responsive and how trades can be canceled after something like this happens.
Marketplace's Elisa Roth, thank you.
You're welcome.
Some Red Cross employees will say today that their organization continues to mismanage America's blood supply. The Red Cross is operating under a government consent decree that requires it to clean up its blood safety practices. But even after hundreds of blood recalls and $21 million in fines, these Red Cross workers say things aren't getting better. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
A group of union members and consumer advocates will charge the Red Cross with dozens of blood safety problems this year. Union workers blame chronic understaffing and a lack of training. Arlene Holt-Baker at the AFL-CIO says the Red Cross has been cutting too many corners.
They should be looking at making sure that they are adequately staffed with the professional staff that they need at every level to ensure that the blood is safe.
The Food and Drug Administration reports no improvement in the Red Cross's safety record since the FDA's most recent report card last fall. The Red Cross says the new charges of mismanagement are really just part of ongoing labor negotiations. Spokeswoman Stephanie Millian read from a statement issued late yesterday.
Some of these unions are using a series of press conferences at different locations across the country as a negotiating tactic to try and gain leverage at the bargaining table.
Unions say nine local labor contracts are currently in negotiation with the Red Cross. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Big stock sell-off this morning. European markets are down 2-3% now. The euro is down to yet another four-year low. Investors seem to be worried that European countries can't get out of debt and grow their economies at the same time. Stocks didn't do much better in Asia earlier today. And oil is down more than 20% so far this month. It's now under $69 a barrel.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
You have probably heard the acronym NIMBY, not in my backyard. Well, here's its cousin, NUMBY. Not under my backyard. That is what Greenville, Ohio, told the U.S. government when the feds said they wanted to bury global warming emissions underneath the town. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner reports.
That was priceless.
Well, what about
they laugh about it now, but when Greenville residents heard about a federally funded carbon sequestration project,
we were scared.
That's Frankie Gilmore, a local mailman. Gilmore and many of his neighbors in rural Ohio had never heard of carbon sequestration, but in 2008, scientists from Battelle, a major R&D lab, came to call. They wanted to demonstrate that you could capture and bury CO2 emissions miles beneath the earth. The government is looking to apply the technology widely to CO2 from burning coal. But local newspaper editor Christina Chalmers says townspeople were grumbling from the get-go.
A lot of people did not even believe in global warming or the issue at hand, so they just thought it was a bunch of garbage.
Battelle held several public meetings, but townspeople were uncomfortable. It wasn't clear to them who was responsible if anything went wrong. There was a slight chance the CO2 injections could cause earthquakes. And what if the CO2 somehow leaked into the water supply? Battelle assured them quakes and leakage were an extremely low risk. But by 2009, a couple of internet-savvy grandmothers had started Citizens Against CO2 Sequestration. Co-founder Jan Tieford wrote their blog.
This is our home. You know, we live here. Those people don't live here. They're never going to live here. And we felt we had a right to protect it, and we should have a say in what goes on here.
The group wrote letters to the editor, knocked on doors. They even held a prayer rally. And hundreds of lawn signs reading, "No CO2 Waste in Dark County," peppered the town. On August 19th, Battelle scrapped the project, citing business considerations. In Greenville, Ohio, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Tomorrow morning, Sarah will look at the lessons Battelle learned from its failure in Greenville, Ohio. And finally, in a new survey, British consumers have voted the iPhone the eighth most important invention of all time, more significant than the internal combustion engine and the flushing toilet. The number one invention in history, the survey said, is the wheel, which, unlike the iPhone, does not need to be constantly reinvented. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.